Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians.
Go ahead and be seated. I'll give you a little introduction and then I'll have you stand back up. I've been preaching a series of messages on our Lord and Savior. This morning I want to preach on the kingdom to come, the millennial kingdom. All right, and I'm skipping over the marriage supper of the Lamb. Actually, we're skipping a lot of things. And I'm going to go to the millennial kingdom this morning, preach what I know about it in 30 minutes. It shouldn't take really that long. And then I'm going to preach on the great white throne judgment next week. Trust it will be a blessing to you. And I hope and I want you to know that the best is yet to come for every child of God. Paul was looking for the return of Christ in his day. Now, we're going to read that just by way of introduction this morning in 1 Thessalonians. We believe in the physical, imminent return of Christ. Paul was looking for Jesus to come in his day. No signs for the rapture. You need to understand that, and I trust you do. And what we read about in Matthew 24, those are signs that will be fulfilled during the tribulation. And then before Jesus comes and sets foot on Mount Olivet. And I'm starting to give you too much information. Let's all stand together. Everybody standing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. This was our text a couple of weeks ago. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming to rescue the church. The sound of the trump, the voice of the archangel, 11/100 of a second, the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed. We'll meet the Lord in the air and we'll meet him in the clouds. He's going to take us home to heaven. We're going to be there for 7 years, and 7 years of tribulation are going to take place here on this earth at that time. And then we're going to be ushered into the kingdom. Father in heaven, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. I'm perfectly capable of muddying up this doctrine. Don't allow me to do that. God, help me to say things in a way that everyone could understand and there'd be clarity. And Lord God, I pray that you'd help everyone here to understand there's a better day coming. There's a great day coming. And we so look forward to it. We look forward to hearing the trump of God and the voice of God and being gathered together into the heavens. Lord, we look forward to that day we'll finally see you face to face. But God, you're preparing us even for greater things. And we look forward to that as children of God as well. If there's someone here not born again, we pray for their salvation. May they come to Christ as others came just a little over a week ago. And others walk the aisle and receive Christ. We pray that would happen this morning as well. May they see the lateness of the hour and understand they've got to get this thing called salvation taken care of. Their sin problem needs to be settled. And may they find this morning that is only settled in Jesus. And the person and the work of Christ. And may they trust you today for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Old couple sitting down in their living room, and they were doing what old couples do during a weeknight evening. They were watching Jeopardy. That's what all the old people do now, all right? Watching Jeopardy, and the old fella says to his wife, says, I'm going to go get a bowl of ice cream. And she said, after he got up, she said, hey, would you get me a bowl as well? She said, oh, yeah, I'll get you a bowl of ice cream. And he started to go a little further, and she said, would you get me some strawberries and put some strawberries on that? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Do you need to write that down? No, I got it. Ice cream, strawberries. He took another step, and she said, would you put some whipped cream on that as well? Sure, I'll put do you need to write that down? No, I got it. Whipped cream as well. He was in the kitchen for about 20 minutes, and then he come out with some bacon and eggs. And his wife looked at him and said, I suppose you forgot my toast, too. And Harry told me that joke on Wednesday night. I've been laughing about it ever since. Isn't it a good thing that God wrote down the Bible for us? Because, man, we get things all twisted around. We get things all changed. It wouldn't take long. It happened in my lifetime. You know how stories change over a period of time. And if it was dependent on the mind of man, wouldn't that be a terrible thing? But God has given us the eternal word of God. He's given to us Holy Writ. And I want you to know this morning there is a great day coming. It's called the Millennial Kingdom. Oh, take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Oh, I want to speed this up because I don't want to get bogged down here. Verse 1 says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And then Jesus goes on and explains to them signs for the second coming of Christ, when the battle of Armageddon takes place, when he sets foot on Mount Olivet and the armies of the Antichrist are destroyed. That's not the rapture. That's the second, the revealing of Jesus Christ, where the battle of Armageddon takes place. And all of Matthew in chapter 24 are signs to the Jews that will be fulfilled during the tribulation. This is not for the church. There are no signs for the rapture. So we know that Jesus is coming soon, and we know that nothing has to happen. The temple doesn't have to be rebuilt first. None of those things need to be fulfilled. We know that Jesus is coming very, very soon. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation and chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 1 says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That's a millennium. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years, the millennium, should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and them that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, or a millennium. And the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years was finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's a millennium. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Let me read just a few more verses. "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." Would you stand with me? I'm going to read just two more verses. Everybody standing. "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And God, again, we come to you in a quick word of prayer. God, would you bless this morning? Make the message powerful. May it be meaningful. Help me to be a preacher and a teacher of the word of God. May the Holy Spirit take Holy Writ and arrest our attention. And God, give to us understanding, illumination. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a great day coming called the Millennial Kingdom. It's when Jesus sits upon the throne of David. I would encourage you to read and study the Bible concerning this doctrine. The Bible has much to say about it, more in the Old Testament than in the New Testament. And so much is going to be fulfilled as far as Old Testament prophecies. And you know what? I'm a preacher that's been at it a lot of years. I'm going to be 63 years old next month, and I still don't know everything. And then I study, and I see things that I never saw before. It's not new. It's in the Word of God. But, you know, all of a sudden, I can put two and two together, and there's four. And it's amazing. It's amazing. No contradictions in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, as I study them, as I study and understand more Scripture, it just substantiates all the New Testament doctrine that we've been taught over the years. It just tells us again and again, it just increases our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I heard a wise old preacher say this, you want your doubts to starve? You feed your faith. You get in the Word of God, and it's amazing how rich and how deep this book is. There is coming a day where as best as can be possible. Oh, and I started to say this. There's some good books to read along with your Bible. Dr. Dwight Pentecost is one of the best books ever written concerning the millennial kingdom. And he is a purist. He is a Bible fundamentalist. He is a literalist. And he takes the Word of God line upon line and precept upon precept. It's about that thick a book. I mean, you read that, man, it just kind of helps you as you're reading through the Bible and you're understanding some of these prophecies that perhaps you don't understand. There's coming a day when there'll be 1,000 years of peace in this earth, on this planet in which we live right now. Now, man has pretty much ruined this planet. It's stained by sin and by the fall of man. And as much as can be, and I've been thinking about this, the glory of God is going to be shown in this earth as much as this earth can hold it. And this earth can't hold it. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 8, when he considered the love of God upon man and how the earth isn't big enough for the glory of God, he said, you look up into the heavens, you see the stars and the planets, and they're light years away, and still that can't contain the glory of God. There's coming a day when there'll be 1,000 years of peace upon this earth. The capital will be Jerusalem. The holy city will hover above Jerusalem, and will rule and reign with Christ as the church. Those of us that are faithful to God will rule and reign according to our faithfulness, and it will be Jesus that sits upon the throne. And his vice regent will be King David himself. And there is coming a day when God, this earth can't contain the glory of God. I'm thinking about Moses. Remember when Moses said to God, God, I want to see you. And God said, Moses, no man has seen me in his mortal body and been able to live. And he said, but I'll tell you what I'll do for you, Moses. Here on the mountain, you climb in that cleft in the rock, that crack in the rock, and I'll put my hand over you, and I'll pass by, and after I get by, I'll remove my hand, and you'll see just a little inkling of what's left of the glory of God. And you remember that story? It lit him up. Man, he had been that close to Creator Jehovah God. He'd been that close, so when he came down from the mountain, the scripture says his skin literally was radiant. This earth can't contain the glory of God. But the millennial kingdom will get a little peace, a little foretaste of what our eternal state is really going to be all about. The millennial kingdom is going to be a great day of perpetual peace, happiness, joy, unprecedented productivity, and a wonderful king, our Jesus. Without getting too doctrinal, there are those that believe in post-millennialism. That means that somehow we're going to usher in the kingdom. We're gonna win this world to Christ in such a way and clean everything up. That ain't going to happen. Man is a fallen. That's why we have grace. That's why we have a Savior. There are those that believe in amillennialism, that somehow there is no millennial kingdom. We're premillennialists. We're pre-tribulationists. We know what the Bible teaches. The trumpet of God is going to sound. The church is going to be raptured. The 144,000 Jewish evangelists are going to preach. 2 super witnesses outside the temple in Jerusalem. A lot of people are going to get saved from every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue. But the Antichrist is going to set himself up as prime minister of the world. Halfway through the tribulation, he's going to say, I'm God. I'm Jesus. He's going to desecrate the temple. And if you don't take the mark of the beast, then you're not going to be able to function. And those that do reject the mark of the beast will be hunted down. Then after that, of course, Armageddon, separation of the goat nations and the sheep nations. And then we enter into the millennial kingdom. Everybody that enters into that kingdom, they're born again, but they're going to have children. We're going to have our glorified bodies already. We've already been raptured, right? And so we're going to rule and reign with Christ. But it's going to last 1,000 years. It's going to be generation after generation after generation. That's why Satan is loosed for a short season at the end of the millennial kingdom. Because people need to get saved during the millennial kingdom, just like they get saved now. And if there is no tempter, if there is no devil, and he'll deceive many people. You say, how would they follow him when Jesus is right there in Jerusalem? How did the third of the angels of God follow Lucifer in eternity past when God was sitting right there in the throne? Lucifer, the devil, is nobody to mess around with. You think you can play footsie with the world? Ain't happening, man. You need to run to the Savior and run fast to the Savior. Okay, let me answer just a few simple questions. Why the millennial kingdom? Why? Number 1, you might want to write these down. These are actually pretty good. I spent a lot of time on this. Number 1, to reward God's people. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, a lot of verses. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will say great to his servants, great is your reward. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 23, 24, and 25. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Because God is a just God. I think I alluded to this last Sunday morning. We are saved by grace. No, we are not saved by commandment keeping. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. We are saved because we have a Savior, and we repent of our sin, and we call upon Jesus, and that's getting born again. We don't bring anything to God in order to earn salvation. We don't pull out our wallets and reach down into our savings account and buy salvation. You can't do enough good works to enter into salvation. You don't have enough righteousness in your own being to get you to heaven. I don't have enough. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So we're saved by grace. That's why Jesus came. If you could do it by keeping the Ten Commandments, which no one has ever done other than our Savior. If you could do it by keeping the Ten Commandments, the Son of God would never have had to been crucified. He would never have visited this earth. And he would never have shed his blood and then rose again on the third day. That price would not have had to been paid for our sin. So here's the deal. The price of our salvation has already been paid. It's already paid for. And all I got to do as a sinner is come to Jesus and get born again. That's free. That's mercy. That is grace. And God's justice alone and the Son of God alone and his righteousness alone is the only way I can get to heaven. It's mercy. But because God is a just God, after salvation, I'm his son. You may be his daughter. You may be his son. You have the opportunity to live for God. That's why God gave us life, to live for the glory of God. That's why it's not that you might make a certain amount of money every week. It's not just so you could raise a family. It's not just so you could do your own thing. We're here for the glory of God, hence the church of Jesus Christ. But here I am, saved by grace. It's a gift, the gift of eternal life. Now life is a gift as well, and this is my platform. This is my opportunity, my 60 or however long it is. This is my opportunity to do something for God, not to earn salvation. Not heaven is not a reward. It's a gift. All right, but something that this is my opportunity to do something for God, and because God is a just God, he rewards us for what we do. And that is what the millennial kingdom is about. One of the purposes of the 1,000-year reign of Christ is to reward God's people. Another is in response to prayer. Remember what Jesus in the model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a response to prayer. Number three, to redeem creation. You maybe have never thought about this before. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. It's God's creation. He created this world. Man chose sin and fell because of that sin. And with him falling in that sin, there was a curse put upon this earth. And we read here in verse 19 of chapter 8, let me read verse 18 too. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. There's coming a day when even the creation is going to be redeemed, if you will, through the millennial kingdom. Oh boy, I got to be careful. I don't kind of start some false doctrine there. We don't worship creation. Creation was not created in the image of God. Your dog was not created in the image of God. Your kitty was not created in the image of God. Only man was created in the image of God. And because Adam chose rebellion and chose sin, the curse fell upon all of creation. Remember what Jesus said when he entered into the city and everybody was crying out, calling him Hosanna, the Son of David, King of Kings? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people of the day, said to Jesus, your disciples, They're calling you God. That's blasphemy. And Jesus said, if they held their peace, the very rocks would cry out. All of creation is waiting for its creator. His name is Jesus. Amen. Great day coming. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Why the millennial kingdom? Reward God's people. Response to prayer. Redeem creation. Also, it reveals the depravity of man. Man still rebels. Think of the different dispensations of man, the age of innocency, and man rebelled. The law, and man disobeyed. The church, and man waxed worse and worse. Millennial kingdom, Jesus on the throne, right worship. We go to Jerusalem, we honor our king. There he is, there's Jesus. And we sing unto him, and oh, what services there's going to be. And I don't want to go too far in that, but boy, there's a lot to preach there, right? And what's going to happen is they're going to have kids, and their kids are going to have kids, and their kids are going to have kids. It's going to be 1,000 years. These people need to come to Christ. These people need to be born again. At the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan is released. He's loosed for a short period of time, the scripture says, and he's going to deceive people. Unfortunate. Why wouldn't people get saved with Jesus right there in Jerusalem? With Jesus, the omnipresent God, living right in our presence. Why wouldn't people get saved today? After all he has done. After Calvary, after the resurrection, after birthing the church, sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. You say, well, why wouldn't people come to Christ today? I don't know. You know what? A lot of people, when they have the gospel explained to them, they get saved. There are a lot of people that way. See, what will the millennial kingdom be like, really? Well, I've got not a lot of time, and a few verses I'd like to look at. There are hundreds of verses here. It'll be a theocracy, number one. Won't be any Republicans, and there won't be any Democrats, and there won't be any independents. We don't get to vote on anything. I like it that way. No king but Jesus. That's it, man. You know, and you know, political parties, that's gonna be out the way. Well, there's gonna be a rebellion at the end, unfortunately, but it's gonna be a theocracy, and the Bible tells us he will rule with a rod of iron. He's king. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah and chapter 11. So it'll be a theocracy. By the way, the world was made to revolve around God, not the other way around. We read in Revelation in chapter 4 in verse 11 that we were created for thy good pleasure. All of creation was created for the pleasure of God, not for my own little thing. We were created for God. So it'll be a time where there'll be a theocracy, the way it's supposed to be. Also be a time of great peace, even in the animal kingdom. By the way, let me read it. Verse 6 says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and a cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Sin sure has changed this world. It really has. And it'll be different back then, man. I'll tell you what. And don't get me started on, in the garden, Adam must have been a vegetarian. Don't get me started there. Paul told Timothy, if you can give thanks for it, you can even set aside the Levitical dietary laws, and you can eat whatever you can give thanks for. Glory to God. Because I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy. I love meat and potatoes. And if God did not want us to eat meat, if he didn't want us to eat animals, why did he make them out of meat? That's my question. I mean, they're there for us, and I love it. And you know my philosophy about some of this new, the George Foreman grill, isn't that a beauty? You know, you got that tray underneath, and you cook your steak or your hamburger, whatever it is, and all that grease drips off there, because it's not good. You know, all that grease drips off, goes in that tray, and when you're done cooking your meat, you take that tray and you pour it on your mashed potatoes, and you got a good meal right then and there. 49 different foods mentioned in the Bible. You say, who would study that? Somebody with a problem. 49 different foods. There's going to be great peace, great prosperity. Don't turn there. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 6 and verse 10. Purity, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9. During the kingdom, people will be building their homes and bearing children and having farms and have extended life and will worship God right. And everything will be right. It's going to be 1,000 years. I've never lived 1,000 years. Some of us look like we've lived 1,000 years, but I've never lived 1,000 years. Can you imagine the millennial reign of Christ? And of course, Jesus will be there every step of the way, a just king and a good king. No political games. And he's my father. You know what it means to me? I have an eternal home. Revelation 21. Go back there, would you please? Revelation and chapter 21. Verse 1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Skip on down to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, come thither, I will show thee the bride and the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. If you understand the chronology of the events here. So here's John. John's part of the church, but he's seen all this. Remember back in Revelation chapter 1, God says to John, write it down, write everything down, that which was and is and shall be, you write it down. And John, God takes John on a journey. He's raptured up in chapter 4 and verse 1, and he shows him all that's going to take place. He says, now I'm going to show you the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? It's the church. The bride of the Lamb, the church. And he shows him a great city, the New Jerusalem, as described in the book of Revelation, 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles high. Never been a city like that upon this earth. It would go from the Gulf of Mexico to the Canadian border, Mississippi River, to the Atlantic Ocean. And then 1,500 miles high. It's beyond my comprehension, but it's my home. It's where I'll spend eternity. And it's there we'll get to serve and worship God. And we read in chapter 22, the gates will never be closed. Never. And you know the best part? It's never going to end. Say, preacher, I don't think I can get my mind around a never-ending eternal life. Neither can I. But my God says that's the way it is. And if you're a deep enough thinker, you'll think long enough and you'll realize this earth isn't all there is. It can't be. How can it be? Just think about that. We are eternal beings, created in the image of God, fell because of sin, redeemed because of Jesus, purchased again, bought back. We're adopted into the family of God, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. We're redeemed, forever saved, forever his children. And he tells us, I'm preparing for you a home in my Father's house, and it's going to last forever. Oh, there'll be some detours. There'll be 1,000 years where we'll reign here on this earth. And all of the Abrahamic prophecies and all of the prophecies to Israel will be fulfilled during that time period that weren't fulfilled up till that point. All be fulfilled. And then after the millennial kingdom, there'll be our eternal home, and we'll be with Jesus forever. Now, here's the deal. I like to bring my messages to a point, and this one really hasn't come to a point. I just kind of thrown a bunch of stuff out at you, but here's what you need to understand. We are on this earth yet to bring others to Jesus. And you can say it any way you want to say it, but that is our only purpose. That's why we're not in heaven already. Our only purpose is to bring sinners to the Savior.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.